Hello, and welcome to the Student Ministry Conversations podcast. This podcast is all about equipping, encouraging, and inspiring youth pastors weekly with topics that are brought to the table by youth pastors from all over the world. And now, here's your host for this week, Melissa Stevenson.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is your first time listening to us. We want to welcome you and invite you over to our website, www.studentministryconversations.org. And you can find all of the previous episodes, the show notes, blog articles. And our goal is that you are inspired, encouraged, and the things that you hear can help you be equipped to be a better student pastor for the church that you are serving in. Today, we're sitting down with my friend Allison of Camp of the Hills in Marble Falls, Texas. So we're going to talk about camp today because it's kind of that season, right? We're moving into where we should be thinking about registering for, paying for, all that fun stuff, figuring out where we're going to go. So, Allison, how did you get to Camp of the Hills?
I got to Camp of the Hills when I was in college. I worked with a ministry, a youth ministry, year-round at my college ministry at Texas A&M, and we brought kids to camp. And my very first summer, my job was just to drive the bus. No other job. I just brought the kids to camp and stayed the week in case, you know, I was kind of the chaperone. If anything was needed, well, I fell in love with it. So I drove the bus the rest of the summer, and then the next summers after that, two or three summers after that, I was a counselor.
Counselor. So you went from counselor, but what do you do now? Because you're not a counselor anymore.
Now? So I graduated college and went, I was an elementary education major. I went and taught in a school. I actually taught abroad. I was in the Dominican Republic for 5 years. And
oh wait, tell me how you learned Spanish in there, because I love this story.
Yeah, so I went for a study abroad. I had already graduated, so I was an assistant to the professor. I had realized during college that I didn't want to be in the traditional educational setting anymore, and so she offered for me to go and work with her kids on her study abroad and do some kind of curriculum planning for the community that hosted them. Mm-hmm. I would do kind of camp activities, things like that. And after the summer, I just decided I loved it and I wasn't going to use my plane ticket home. And so I stayed. I found a job.
You there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just stayed. I found ways to put on summer camps there. Using what I had learned at Camp of the Hills, it was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. You know, kids need those educational resources outside of the classroom in order to grow and develop and bond in so many different ways.
And so you went from there to back to here.
Yeah. So about 3 years into my 5 years there, camp reached out to me. They had seen what I had been doing with my kids there, and they wanted to do a year-round outdoor education program at camp instead of just the summer program. And they were picking my brain as a teacher, you know, what do you think we could offer? You know, camp, you also know the teacher world. And so I was giving them some ideas and never guessed in a million years that they would ask me to apply for the director position of that new program. They did. At first I told them no. I was like, I'm good where I'm at. I'm never coming back. But over time, you know, both them and God just convinced me that the way that things were, you know, unfolding, that this was a good decision for me. And so I moved back. I initiated our outdoor education program here at Camp of the Hills. Mm-hmm. And we work with student groups, field trips, overnight retreats, things like that. And over time, I've transitioned more into the operation realm. I'm now operations director here at Camp of the Hills. Mm-hmm. And so I oversee all of our programs and make sure they're operating in similar ways, that they function in similar ways.
That makes sense. So you've got that consistency throughout the programming. And it makes sense to have programming during the rest of the year because camp is just sitting there, right?
Yeah. We also have a retreat and rental program that we run. You know, church groups can come out, rent our facilities and all of that, as well as the outdoor education program. All of the profit from that goes to supporting our summer camp program to keep those costs low for kids to come out. Whether they're in an economic situation where they can't really pay for it, or, you know, if it's an organization that's bringing their kids out and they really need a cost-effective way to get their kids a camp experience, everything we do year-round goes to supporting that.
That's awesome. And also, you know, y'all do lots of fundraising for that, because that's one of my first things I tell people. A, it's awesome, but also, oh my gosh, look at the cost. Because comparing y'all to some of the other camps in our area, I mean, the difference is staggering, where we can actually take kids and not have to just fundraise for camp. That's all we do, is fundraise for camp. Instead, we can focus on the rest of, you know, development of kids. So what do you like about working at Camp of the Hills? Like, what drew you back there?
The atmosphere of, like I said earlier, about being able to be in an educational setting that is so foreign to the typical standard. You know, you're not in four walls. You're in the great outdoors. You get to work on that social emotional development that you can't always do inside of a classroom.
Well, and you don't have any testing. there's no testing. So there's no anxiety because you can't fail, right?
It's natural growth. Mm-hmm. We focus on those relationships. It's a relational ministry. So it's really focused on getting to know the people that come out here, building that trust, and making this place, this camp, feel like a home away from home.
I was going to tell this later, but ours cry for about from camp all the way into town, which is a good, 15 minutes at least. And they just cry the whole time, where they don't want to go home. And they constantly ask me, can we go for more than 1 week? No, we cannot go for more than 1 week. But they do feel that love there. So let's talk about that. So Camp of the Hills, you're in Marble Falls, Texas, and y'all are in trees. We are in West Texas. We don't have those here. We also don't have water. Y'all have water, but it's getting less. So you're adding something to that. What is the newest thing about water this year that we are so excited about?
We are finally building a real official pool for our campus.
So exciting. Like, I saw the groundbreaking on social media and I texted it to every kid. Like, look at this. So
we've always had water activities. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, the lakefront. We're on Lake Travis. But we're on the portion of the lake that is not constant.
Right.
And so it's up and down, depending on the drought. So we've always had swimming activities. We had a concrete basin swimming hole where we pumped lake water in. And that's been great for, you know, the last 30 years that we've been around. But with the drought, the increasing water shortage, you know, we weren't being good stewards of our natural resources, that we were having to pump in this water twice a week. It would get stagnant. Mm-hmm. It wasn't healthy for the kids. We'd have to flush it out twice a week so that it could remain healthy for the kids.
We had the poor Poema kids out there scrubbing the concrete.
Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited. We get to, we're always trying to innovate within our capacity, right? We do the best that we can with what we have. Mm-hmm. We're a nonprofit, we're a ministry, you know, like you said, fundraising is hard.
Yeah.
But so that's a new, big, exciting build for us to be able to offer our kids a way to refresh themselves, and it's clear water. Mm-hmm. It's safer. You know, and not all kids live near a community pool anymore. Mm-hmm. Used to, community pools were really easy to access. And now they're not, especially in Texas heat. Mm-hmm. Texas heat is sweltering.
We've got a new water park is what they've built us in Abilene, but it does not have an actual pool. You can, it's got really cool slides. It has a wonderful lazy river. But the actual pool is the beach side, so it's really shallow on the end, which is great for the little people, but it is not one that you can just go swim in, like laps or anything like that. So I think that's going to be great for our kids. Really excited about that. So we're in Marble Falls, Camp of the Hills. What do y'all offer? What kind of activities do you have?
So we offer our traditional summer camp program is a week-long stint, and we do 8 weeks of that. So we have 4 weeks of elementary age range kids, 3 weeks of middle school age range, and 1 week of high school. We also do a discipleship program for high school age kids. Since we can only do 1 week of high school normal camp, we have this discipleship program, which as a high schooler, you can enroll. It's a 2 week long stay, and you're learning, you're almost like a counselor in training. You're learning the behind the scenes. What does it mean to serve? What does it look like? A lot of these kids, they've grown up as a camper in camp, and now they get to be the one, you know, setting up all of the activities or the water coolers, or
we have a ride on the
carts.
Yeah, on the golf carts.
Yeah, we have a giant donations laundry room that we collect year round. We keep it stocked year round, and it's got clothing, it's got toiletries, bedding, all sorts of things that you would need at camp. Mm-hmm. That because a lot of our we primarily want to be able to serve kids coming from either a low income or an at risk background. Sometimes they're coming to camp with their siblings, and they're all sharing the same tube of toothpaste. Mm-hmm. You know, which in the house is fine. That's what I do with my family in the house. We all share one tube. But in order to be successful in camp, there's all of these little details that then make it uncomfortable if you or the camp isn't prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And so you get kids that come to camp that maybe they were sharing toiletries, but now they're all in different cabins. We can provide them those toiletries. We can provide, oh, hey, you don't have a bed sheet. You have like the bottom sheet, but you didn't have the top sheet. Here, we have a blanket for you. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, you forgot a pillow from home. Like, hey, we have a pillow. Oh, hey, you know, you packed 4 days worth of clothes rather than five, mm-hmm. or rather than six, because some stuff got dirty and you weren't expecting that. And so we have extras that we can support our kids with, make sure that their time at camp is just amazing, and they're not having to be worried and concerned about those little, you know, those little details.
Yeah. Like I had one, like last year, one of my kids, he grabbed his sandals that he'd worn the year before and didn't think about, oh yeah, I'm just going to bring those with me. And his foot was hanging off the back of that yay much because he'd grown that much over the year. Yeah. And y'all were like, yeah, we got shoes. We got it. We got flip flops. We're fine. We have options here. So
yeah, and a lot of times those activities that they're doing at camp aren't normal everyday activities. And so the clothing you need for them, you're not used to. Mm-hmm. You know, we're out here hiking. I say hiking. We've got hills and stuff, you know, so they're easy hikes or short hikes. But for kids who've never been in nature, mm-hmm. steep, it's rocky. Their flip-flops don't survive the same way that they do in concrete. You know, we've got different sports. We've got high ropes, low ropes, where they need to be like harnessed in, and it's required to have a closed-toed shoe for. Mm-hmm. You know, and so some kids, all they brought were sandals, mm-hmm. Because they're not used to those things. They're different. They're out of, and that's the beauty, is that we have these get yourself out of your comfort zone type activities that are team building and inspiring. But also, a kid coming to camp, they're not used to that. They can't pre-plan.
That is true. That. Yeah. Mine always get real excited when they go from middle school to high school, because that's when they can do the high ropes. And mm-hmm. so getting them to climb the pole to do the leap of faith is always mm-hmm. real exciting. I have not done it. I have stayed on the ground and taken pictures. But it looks really fun.
I've done it twice. Oh. And I did it back to back, thinking that, okay, the second time is going to be easier because I know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. The second time was harder.
I found zip
because I knew what it felt like. I think the first time I had that adrenaline.
Yes, there was that, oh, this is going to be really cool, kind of like, ziplining was like that way for me. Where the second time I was going, why am I doing this? And the guy was like, because it's fun. I'm like, it's really not. I'm just doing this because the kids want to do it. And they're like, come on. And so I was just like, going through
That's the beauty of camp. It's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. No matter whether you're 8 and this is your first summer to go to an overnight camp, or you're a counselor or a sponsor, you're an adult, you're gaining things from camp that are beneficial to your faith life, mm-hmm. your own personal development, no matter what age you are.
Right.
And that's what I love about camp, that the camp setting just makes that unique.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the big things that's, I think, helpful in that is that y'all don't allow devices.
Hmm. Yes, that is a big sticking point for mm-hmm. us. And we are faithful to it.
Yes.
Because, you know, all of our sponsors, our parents, people that bring kids to camp, they know ahead of time that, hey, while your kid is at camp, you can have access, like emergency phone call access to us, but your kids will not have their devices. We pick them up, they put them in a little special baggie, they sign it so that we know whose is whose. And they know they'll get it back when they get on that bus or in their car to go home mm-hmm. at the end of the week. But the entire week is about disconnecting.
Yeah.
But not disconnecting from people. It's actually disconnecting from devices so that you can connect to the people that you should be connecting to. Mm-hmm. Yourself, people in your cabin, your counselors, you know, you're getting that real bond, that real relationship experience throughout the week.
Yes, that's one of our favorite parts of it. Yeah, the kids, they do fight me on it. But I tell them, if you bring me your charger, I will charge it during the week while I am there. And then you can have it, because it is, you know, 3.5 hours for us to get back home. And so I want them to have them in the car on the way home. And so I charge them, and then they are ready for the way home. And that seems to lessen that blow. But they are so stuck on them right now. Like, they're so, I mean, addicted is such a harsh word to use for it, but I mean, it is slightly true.
That activate when, you know, any other typical addiction, you know, they've done studies about, you know, with alcohol or drugs, it highlights dopamine centers in your brain. The same centers in your brain are activated when you are getting that instant gratification of an electronic device.
Yeah.
And so it is the same, that same wiring that can affect us.
Mm-hmm. So I really like that y'all do that. That's one of my favorite parts. So what do you think is different about Camp of the Hills than other camps? Because, I mean, there's a bunch of camps just in your general area. So what do you think makes y'all different than some of the other ones?
Yeah, I touched on a little bit of it. It's the fact that we intentionally prepare to serve underserved populations.
Yes.
There is forethought, there's planning, there's preparation that needs to go into making a camp environment accessible, comfortable, accommodating to populations that don't typically get the opportunity to go to camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's our, you know, our donations, we're thinking ahead saying, okay, what if a kid comes and they get to camp and they don't have everything they need, right? It's the pricing. It's, hey, instead of spending $300, $500, $800, or even there's a few camps around our area that a week is $2,000. You know, so instead of those high prices, it's, hey, the family needs to commit, or the sponsor group needs to commit to $60 per child.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've seen over the years, that just creates a level of dignity and a level of buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Of, yes, we are committing. We're putting something towards this and we are committing to it. And so maintaining that dignity for our campers and our parents is really important to us. And then the training that, you know, all of us, no matter our socioeconomic background, we've got things that have happened in our life that can make for uncomfortable situations. We've got trauma, we've got baggage, we've got emotional, behavioral development things that make a group setting difficult. And we specifically train our staff and our full-time staff, but also our summer staff, the counselors that are in the cabins and doing activities with them. We train them specifically to be able to attend with trauma-informed care, that they can learn techniques to de-escalate situations or to redirect a situation before it escalates.
Yeah.
You know, to see those things and to love on our campers in the way that they need, the support, the emotional support that they need.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that you talk about the dignity of that $60, because I hadn't thought about that way, but that's so true. I love that. There was something else about that in that same realm. Oh, okay. That might go to us. And it's also, I mean, you have air conditioning in the cabins. There's lovely food. It is, y'all are not a budget camp. Does that make sense? Like, kids that are already in a low income situation, they almost seem like they are expecting not much. And y'all are not that. Y'all are like, just like any other camp kind of thing that they deserve to go to. And so I love that. It's, I mean, you have really cool activities and archery and canoeing, really fun things, but it is not, well, you only paid $60. You only get this much. You get all the things. So I love that. We did a fundraiser for our camp already. We did ours in November, and we had a baked potato dinner. And we charged $10 a plate for a baked potato and a brisket and all the other toppings and whatnot. But every six people that bought a potato, I had a cowbell. You're my husband. And I was like, I can't stop going to camp. And we did that 20 times. I'm not sure I have 20 kids going to camp this year, but like that's how it was so popular. And then the people were just like, wait, why is the cowbell ringing? I said, because that's how much it takes for a kid to go to camp. And they're like, well, we want it to ring more. Like what? So it was very exciting, but it also got the whole church to like buy in the situation. So we are like fully funded, which I'm very excited about. Recent to a check. Alrighty. So we talked about your staff, they have training. I think I heard, now tell me if this is true. Is there something about if a counselor has a negative interaction with a kid that that's their new best friend, or they have to have so many positive interactions with them?
Yes. And so one of the tenets that we harp on our counselors is that for every one negative interaction that you might have, we want you to find four positive interactions with that same camper throughout that day. Right. And so often only the negative is highlighted in our lives. You know, you think of that kind of perfection mindset, or that like even coming from a school teacher mindset of like, hey, the ideal on your paper is that you get 100% correct. Mm-hmm. And we're going to mark out the ones that didn't so that you know it. Right.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you can work on it. Mm-hmm. But over time, if all we're ever being pointed out is the negative of where we're falling short, of where we're not good enough, you know, that piles on to an already heavy load. Mm-hmm. Especially for a lot of our kids. I mean, even for myself, I find myself and people around me are being negative or only calling out the negatives, you know, and I see me doing that with my family too. And I have to check myself on, okay, I can't just focus on the negative. We've got to focus on the positive, grow the positive. We have a phrase that we call notice, name, and nurture. We want you to notice whether it's positive or negative. We want you to notice it. Mm-hmm. We want to name it for the kid, because sometimes these things, they need a name. For example, like an emotion or a behavior. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to identify what it is, right?
Yeah, because then we need to can't do that, especially our middle schoolers, elementary kids. They just don't know what that feeling is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then we want to nurture more of that positive, you know, whatever the action was, more of it happening. Or if it was a negative interaction that we noticed and we named it, we want to nurture the appropriate response. Like, hey, how else can we do that? Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, what were you feeling when that was happening, when that was going on? Talk me through it. You know, oh, wow, that makes sense. How could we, you know, in the future, if that happens again, like, what do you think would be another way that you could do that? Right. How else could you have handled that? Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about in trauma-informed care, we use a training called TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention. It's through TCU. And it talks about being able to get the child back into a rational state in order to logically think through those
kind of
moments.
Like a defensive emergency kind of survival state.
Yeah, because when we're in that emergent, you know, our amygdala is firing. We're in that fight or flight, freeze, fawn kind of state. We can't think through logically. Right. We can't process that emotion logically in our frontal, you know, with our front brain. Mm-hmm. And so being able to support kids when they're in that moment, but then also after the fact, talk through and give vocabulary and give space to talking through that in a healthy, safe way. Mm-hmm. It's a game changer. Well, I mean, it's a game changer for me, and I'm an adult.
Well, I could see that being really good, just tactics and techniques for using in just general youth ministry the rest of the year. And so I love those things, but that's one of my favorite parts of camp is that we have this tendency that, oh, that's the bad kid. And we're so, I'm going to focus on these good kids because they're fun and easy to deal with. This is difficult. I don't want to do that. And so it seems y'all are flipping that script, which is kind of teaching the rest of us that we need to do that too. And so I really do like that. So you said you've got more, you focus on at risk, low income. And so what do you think the importance of kids going to camp and leaving their normal routine? What would you say would be the big, like, this is why?
Getting out of your everyday, you know, And not just saying that kids coming from low-income or at-risk environments have, you know, more of this. All of us do. If we think about our normal everyday environment, there are things that are triggering. There are things that, like, just routines that aren't healthy for us that we get numb to. It's like the lullaby effect. Oh, this is my norm. This is my norm. This is my norm. This is just how it is. Oh, this is how everybody treats me. Oh, this is how this is always going to happen. Oh, I'm going to always react this way. And when you get a kid out of their normal everyday environment, they get to see that there is other ways of being out there. They get out of that, you know, cycle of the normal,
right?
And they get to see new people, meet new people, be in a different environment, feel different. You know, sometimes you're able to start fresh and you get to show up in a new way that you never knew you were capable of.
That's so true, especially when, because it's that summertime and then they have that new start of a new school year kind of thing. So it is kind of nice to have that refreshing, okay, this is who I'm going to be this year. I'm not going to be that person I was last year.
Yeah. That makes definitely
sense. So what kind of things have you seen impacting kids? Don't use name confidentiality. But what kind of impact have you seen on kids, even just spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, all those kinds of things? Because Camp of the Hills has been around for 30 years?
34 this summer.
34 years. Because there's a wonderful video on their social media about how they got started. It's lovely. So what kind of impact have you seen in that 34 years? Of course, you haven't been there the whole time, but...
I've been here in a multitude of capacities, you know. So when I was a sponsor, just bringing kids out, seeing the excitement that they had, you know, they knew that something was waiting for them at camp. And whatever that was, you know, this big spiritual experience or something as subtle as a counselor that they could connect with, who, you know, wasn't the typical mentor figure. They were younger, they were college age, they were closer in their understanding of like what real life looked like. And so just that something as subtle and as, you know, we wouldn't think of that being the big momentous thing, but them being able to connect with people who are showing them love in a consistent and healthy way, that in and of itself can be life changing. So seeing that as a sponsor, like you said, of kids getting on the bus,
sobbing,
wanting to leave. And I mean, and that's not to say that all of them had these awful, terrible home lives. No, not all of them did, but they just loved camp. They loved the freedom that they got to be, the relationships that they got to build. You know, I think also just getting out of your comfort zone, you're able to see a different version of yourself. Yeah, I didn't really talk as a kid. I was very nervous of talking. The entire fact that I'm talking to you right now on something recorded is an act of God. But I know, you know, kids that come to camp shy and think that they don't fit in, and finding those few people that they learn to trust and they learn, oh, I can do this, you know,
and
or we have
singing at the talent show.
Right. We have a reenactment that we do towards the end of the week where the counselors that they've been getting to know all week long play the characters of the last days of Jesus's life. And so they're seeing their counselors, these people that are, you know, now very real and human to them, playing these biblical roles that sometimes just look like words on a page. You know, they're seeing them reenact it. They're seeing the solidarity that Jesus had with us of walking that path, even though it was hard, all for us, you know, him as human. And so Thursday night, we do that crucifixion, like leading up to the crucifixion, and that it ends on a very sad note, right? Just like
the stone.
What happened? We expected, you know, this big savior and the Messiah. And now he's in a tomb, and they had to wait 3 days for that, you know, the promise to be made known to them. And our kids, so they go to sleep Thursday night with that heaviness. And then Friday morning, they get to watch what that resurrection really looks like, the celebration, joy, you know. And they're seeing this happen with people that they recognize their face, they recognize their voice. They've learned, you know, their tics and their habits throughout the week, and now they're seeing them play these roles. It brings it to life in a way.
It does. Like when the they're throwing stones at him when he's like literally carrying the cross. You can, I mean, they're yelling at him. All the other counselors are yelling at him, and you can feel the anger. You can feel the emotion. It is powerful.
Yeah. And so there's so many different, there's big and little moments all throughout camp that impact a camper's life. I think even just knowing year to year that it's remained consistent of like, oh, I've had campers who had been coming more years than I had been a counselor, mm-hmm. you know, and there I was in the counselor role thinking, oh, this is my third year. You know, I'm the pro.
I know all the things.
Yeah. And then there are these kids who are like, oh yeah, this is my seventh year coming. Mm-hmm. Or this is my eighth year. This is my 10th year, you know, high schoolers that they've grown up with the memories of camp growing with them. Mm-hmm. And that is empowering, you know, to know that this faith community, even though it's not your little bubble from back home, but that this faith community is bigger and it's broader than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that, speaking of that broader, I love that you go to different campuses to recruit for counselors all over Texas and surrounding areas, because you always just about have ones from our town, because we have three mm-hmm. universities here. And so they get to go, oh, wait, you're actually from where I live? Like, y'all aren't from this other fancy place that is magical or whatnot. Like, but you're from the same town that I live in every day. Like, I think that part is impactful too, in a weird way, because they get to see that they're normal. Like, they're just, you know, we think of, you know, even tech, it's way out there. It's that way. Mm-hmm. And it's this magical place that they hear about that they may never go. And so, mm-hmm. but no, this one's from right over here at ACU. Like, so I do like that y'all get people from all over. Like, love that.
Yeah.
So why do you think that leaders should take the time? Because we had one of ours took the time to go to a bunch of camps, and that's how we found you. But why do you think leaders should take the time to go and research and investigate camps, and then, you know, take that time to register and to fundraise and, you know, out of their summer to take kids to camp? What is the big, why should we do this?
I think the magic. Yeah, of course. So that I can work. Yeah. But I think the magic, I remember growing up, if my aunt told me something, my mom could have told me a million times. But when my aunt said it, it felt different. Mm-hmm. Right. And so leaders that are working with kids year round, you're pouring into them year round. Right. And sometimes I talked about that lullaby effect earlier. It's, oh yeah, Miss Allison, she just always says that. She's always talking about, you know, love and joy and being compassion and, you know, whatever, all this Jesus stuff. And then you go to camp and you're surrounded with all of these other, you know, our counselors. We've got a staff of anywhere from, you know, 30 to 60 people. Mm-hmm. That now they're pouring in and saying the same things and reinforcing what you've said all year long, mm-hmm. you know, and they're seeing it in a different environment. It's not just, oh, at youth group, this is what we talk about. It's, oh, hey, all of these people from all of these different youth groups, from all of these different churches, from all of these different organizations, they're all here and they're all saying the same thing too.
Right.
You know? We're all bringing our experiences to the table, and it's making Jesus very real. Mm-hmm. It's making God and our Christian community more real. It's not just, oh yeah, my leader, when we go on Wednesdays and they give a Bible study, mm-hmm. you know, getting kids out of their comfort zone and having that opportunity for us to reinforce what you've been doing all year. Cause really that's where the power comes from. You build those relationships all year with your kids.
And you're like, you're totally right, because it's all those people. But so how you learned Spanish was, you know, the Dominican Republic, where they left you there and you were immersed in it. And
yes,
it is similar to being, you're stuck with these people for a week, Monday through Saturday, and you are immersed in a Christian culture for that week. You don't have your devices. There's nothing from that outside world. I talk about that a lot with our people, that I am fighting against 6 days of outside when I get them for one day. And so I had to remind myself that, you know, I'm not going to fix them on Sunday. This going to be this you know, continuous thing, but I'm fighting a big battle right there. And when you can have them for that solid week where they don't have those outside forces, they've got all of those people saying, hey, this is the way that, you know, we should be. It makes it a big impact.
Gigantic.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Well, is there anything else that we need to know about taking kids to camp?
Planning is your friend.
Okay. That makes sense.
Here at our camp, we do group reservations early. And so if you do have a group that you are wanting to bring, we start talking about those reservations and your dates in November, mm-hmm. I think. October, November, December. That way you can go ahead and get that on your calendar. You can reserve, okay, I'm estimating that I'm going to bring 15 middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. Okay, it works best with our, you know, church summer schedule or our organization outreach ministry schedule to do it this week. I'm going to go ahead and reserve those spots.
Yeah.
And then you can pull them over time, right? But planning ahead, mm-hmm. We really want to be able to accommodate you and what works best for your schedule and your summer routine with your kids.
Right. Well, and on that planning part, check your school's calendar for when summer school is, because I always have to work around that. And so mm-hmm. pay attention to that, because we won't know if we're going to summer school until like April, and it is too late to change things then. So pay attention to that, my people out there. So planning is our
And not to say that you can't register later. Mm-hmm. We still have spaces open right now, and it's February, you know, but planning ahead and getting those spots reserved for your group, and it builds excitement in your kids.
It does.
What they're looking forward to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is not on my list. It's an added question. So let's see if we can answer it. So y'all also take individual kids, not just groups, right? Mm-hmm. And I can think of one curly head kid that's there practically all summer. If we were like not just Camp of the Hills, but ones in general, if my family, we were not in a group and I just wanted to send my kids instead of my whole group, do you think that's something that I should do as far as like, is that beneficial to them as well as going with a group?
Yes, 1,000 times yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's unique beauty about coming with a group. You're coming with people you already know. There's a sense of comfort there. Sometimes it can also bring drama. But you get to know and deepen those relationships. But if you also come in as an individual, you're building a new network of people that you can trust. And you're learning to trust. That's a big developmental stage throughout all of our growth, is how do we trust? What are those social skills?
Mm-hmm. Independence, right?
Yeah, that independence. And especially independence in our faith. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe you grow up and you go to church with your family every week, and it's, you know, mom and dad's faith and my caregiver's faith, and oh, they're always talking about what God means to them. And then you get to come and have that independence start to grow on your own, that okay, this is my own understanding of my faith.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad you got over some fear and talked on camera. And you had so many good things. There was just some lovely things you said that you speak beautifully.
Thank you.
So we're going to head out for the day. I've actually got to get over to a mentoring thing next. But thank you for so much. And we will actually see you in June.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.